I'll be reading from Matthew 21. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop and harvest at harvest time.
Good morning. It's a beautiful fall morning. Doesn't feel quite like fall yet, but cool weather is coming. I'm going to keep saying that every week until it shows up. Still kind of unusually warm, but it won't be long till we'll be going, "Whoo, I'm tired of this cold weather." So just enjoy this one. I got a few of you saying, "No, I won't ever be too cool for me," but for most of us, it probably will. We're glad that you're here. I want to remind you and maybe inform you that starting next Sunday night, we're going to begin our home Bible studies, and we have a schedule of those. If you haven't gotten one of the bookmarks, I would encourage you to get one, and they're in the foyer, and you can get the bookmark, and it will have what we're going to be studying each week, each section. It'll have the passage. Then on the other side of the bookmark, it'll have the questions that we'll go over. So you can look at those and be prepared for that. And there'll be a group here each Sunday night at the building. We'll rotate what groups are here, but we'll do that Bible study. If you're not sure what group that you, where you need to meet, where you want to meet, check with Rob. Rob can tell you west of this latitude and north of this longitude where you meet. So, but we'll get that done and hope that you'll be involved in that. If you've not been involved in our Sunday night study, this would be a great time to get involved, to be part of community. They'll meet from 6 to 7, and I hope that you'll be a part of that. And then there'll be other things scheduled on the weeks where we're not there. We'll meet here, and then there'll be activities. So be sure to get your calendars to know. But that will start next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we hope that you'll be a part of that. And not only do we hope that you'll be a part of that, but hope that it will be an opportunity to invite some folks, and you may not want to the first week, although that would be great, to become and be a part of those Bible studies, because it will be something a little different. Sometimes it's easier to invite somebody. So I'm part of a Bible study. We meet a couple of times a month in a home or with a little smaller group and have a discussion time over Scripture. And invite folks to come and get to know people. Hopefully that will be an enjoyable thing and a beneficial thing, and we will learn Scripture and its application for us. We're going to talk this morning about a parable that Jesus tells during the last week of his earthly life, or at least prior to the resurrection. And so all of the teachings of Jesus are important. But I think those things that are taught and told during that last week are of extreme importance, if there can be such a thing. Because what are you going to talk about in the last week of life? Those things that are of greatest importance, right? You prioritize. I know I've shared with you before, went to a seminar about being more effective, and the teacher asked us, "What's the most effective day you have at work every year?" And you know, people are guessing things. Most of us are looking dumbfounded at the question. And he said, "It's the day before you go on vacation. It's the most, because you're getting everything done so you can get away. And you know, you put off all the things. If it's not important that day, you don't do it. You do the things to get everything ready." Well, it's the last week of Jesus' life. And he's talking with the people, and he's talking about things that are of extreme importance. Of extreme importance. And so I want to look at this whole parable that Jesus tells. Now let's talk about the backdrop of this, because to be fair to the parable, I'm really not going to talk about the main purpose that I believe Jesus told this parable. You will walk on, because there are lots of lessons. in this parable. Now, the main lesson in this parable, and they're going to get it, was speaking to the Jewish leaders of the time. We're speaking to the Jewish leaders. Understand that we're, and they recognize that he's talking to them. That he's talking to them because they have not accepted the truth of who Jesus is. And so Jesus is sharing that with them. And not only have they not accepted the truth of who Jesus is, it's even a greater slap to them than that. And it is one that they haven't listened to the other people who have been sent by God. This parable is about you are a chosen people. And throughout this history, and that God has blessed you and put you in this place, this land of promise, and you really haven't listened to God and been about God's business. That's the backdrop of this parable. So let's read from this parable against that backdrop and then make some application for us. Now, for those of you who don't know, and we kind of have a lighter crowd today, everyone should know that on the Sunday morning after the Christian School Fall Festival and auction, my voice won't hold out very long. It's already hurting this morning, so I'm going to get right to it. You're welcome. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Now, let's stop right there. Let's talk about this backdrop and even kind of what it means. A gentleman builds a vineyard as an investment. Rents it out. Jesus is telling this because these people have been given this land of promise, the land of Canaan, right? Promised all the way back to Abraham. Not just from the time they left Egypt, a promise all the way made, all the way back to Abraham. And so they had been given the land, and they're going to come to understand that. And so he tells them, here's a gentleman, a man who has an investment, builds a vineyard, he puts a wall around it, he builds the wine press in it, he does everything that it needs, puts a watchtower, it is a ready-to-go business. They move in, he rents it out, and he's going to get a percentage of the yield. And those kind of leases go on today, do they not? You know, some folks prefer to do it just on a per acre basis, then for the landowner, the risk is out. You know, if the person gets a great harvest, they benefit. If it's poor, you still got to come across with the rent. But sometimes it's done on a percentage of the yield. So this was on a percentage of what they produced. They owed it to the landowner. So he sends his servants to collect. And they stone them. They beat them. They don't pay what they owe them. And this it represents, and they're going to realize this in a moment, the prophets that had come to the people of Israel, that they had not only ignored, but had abused and beaten and killed. That prophets had been put to death bringing God's message to them. And so he sends more servants or more prophets, and they ignore them. And so the landowner's thought is, I'll send my son. He has more authority. They will at least respect him, and they'll pay their rents. And what is their thoughts? And this is kind of interesting because they discuss this. This parable is in three of the Gospels. And so as you read through the whole thing, they kind of have a discussion. about what they're going to do when the sun comes. And instead of saying, hey, you know, we've kind of gotten by, let's pay our rent. This is serious. They say, this is the son. He is the heir. If we kill him, not only can we use the vineyard without paying rent, we'll just take it over. It will become ours. It will become ours. And so they take the son out of the vineyard and they kill him. Now, it's interesting, and we understand that in just a few short days from Jesus telling this parable, what's going to happen? He's going to be taken outside of the city of Jerusalem and put to death. It's prophetic. Jesus knows what's coming. Now, as we read the rest of this, in just a moment, I'm reminded of Nathan coming to David after he has his affair with Bathsheba. And you remember how Nathan approaches David. He tells him a story of a family that has one sheep. Remember? Family has one sheep. It's a pet sheep. The children have raised it. They sleep with it. It's their sheep. And next to them is a wealthy man who has lots of sheep. And he has a visitor come to his house. And you were obligated when a visitor came to your house to feed them. And so the wealthy man, instead of taking one of his many sheep, goes and takes the one lamb from this family and slaughters it to feed his guest. And David is indignant about it. David is just, why would anybody do that? This is awful. And we probably all move to that, right? It'd make a great television show on the Hallmark Channel. It would move us to emotion. We would become angry, and we would want what? At the end, we'd want them to have to pay for what they did, right? And Nathan says to David, you're the man. You're the man. Because Uriah had one wife, and you had many, and you took the one that he had. And David recognized it. Well, this parable is really the same to those leaders of the time. Because now he's told them about this, and hey, these are business people. And they're family people, and they can just imagine, I'd made this business deal, they're not paying their rents, and they kill my servants, and they kill my son. And so the question comes, what will this landowner do? What should he do? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and anyone whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priest and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. They understood what they would do, what you would do in that situation. That the landowner, the right thing for him to do was to punish those people, to bring those wretches to a wretched end. Give them what they've got coming for not paying their rent, which was really the lesser thing to having murdered those folks who came to collect. And then when they realize it's about them, then instead of the appropriate response, Which was David's response. David's response was one of repentance, wasn't it? Read the Psalms. David realizes that he had sinned against God and the terrible thing he had done. But instead of that, their response was, kill the messenger. Kill the messenger. And they would have killed Jesus then, or would have attempted to, but they were afraid of the people. They were afraid of public opinion. So they didn't. But that was desire. Instead of looking and saying, I need to change, they looked to kill the messenger. Because they had been given this land of promise, to be about God's business, and they weren't. I want to talk about how does this apply to us today for just a moment. What lesson do we get, which is a little different than the lesson for them? But all of us have been given opportunities to be about God's business. And God has blessed us with the opportunities and the blessings that we have. Those all come from God. And I hope we acknowledge that. And I think that we do. Hopefully we do. That everything we have and the blessings that we have come from God. And so the question then comes to each of us, given the blessings and the opportunities we have, not only for those of us who are in this audience, but really to people even outside. God has blessed and gives all of us an opportunity and sent His Son to die on our behalf that we might have salvation. We might have salvation. And so the question then comes, are we responding to God in a faithful, submissive, loving way? Are we giving back to God what is His, which is our very lives, right? Putting God first and being about His business. Because what does Jesus know at age 12? That He's going to be about the Father's business, right? When Mary and Joseph are concerned about Him, when they find Him after 3 days, and they, you know their response. It would be the natural response of any of us. Whoo, I'm so glad you're fine. Why in the world did you do this to us? Are you okay? I'm going to kill you. And Jesus says, didn't you know that I'd be about my Father's business? Where else would you expect me to be except about my Father's business? Jesus understood the importance of being about the Father's business. And for the tenants in the vineyard and for the people of the first century, they had lost sight of being about the appropriate business. And then what often comes, and it's a battle that we all have to fight, is those tenants, not only was it not about doing the right thing, but it came about just bettering themselves. They contemplated, what can we do to benefit us? What can we do to benefit us? How do we prosper the most or appear to prosper? How do we get the things we want? Instead of honoring what they should have done and being respectful of the landowner and his son, instead of honoring God and Jesus, it's about what can we do to get what we want? Now, in our lives, if we choose to reject Jesus, typically why would we do that? Because we want to do what we want to do, what we think is best. Right? It takes different forms, but why did Adam and Eve reject what God told them to do in the garden? Because it's a great pattern, because we go through the same processes. Why did they eat from the fruit that God told them not to? All kind of fruit to eat from. Why did they eat from that fruit? Because it looked like it would be good for them. It would taste good. And it would make them wise. They would be better off. And so we're going to reject what God says because we're going to do what looks like it's best for us. It's what the tenants are trying to do. But we need to understand and remember that God did send His Son for us at a great cost to God and to His Son, to the Father and to the Son. Jesus came and died for us that we might have forgiveness of our sins and might have the hope and the promise of eternal life. That God did that for us. God paid the price for what we have done. We have the blessings we have because God has given them to us. We have the opportunities we have because God has blessed us with them. And when we have sinned, which we have all done, God, instead of saying, I blessed you in such tremendous ways, and you sinned anyway, here's what you deserve, you're going to get it. God, in His love and His mercy and His patience, sent His Son to die and is patient with us, even making that great sacrifice. Right? God is patient with us. Because I think all of us, soberly, honestly, if we look at our lives, there have been real times in our lives when we have been rebellious to God. And the thought would be, if we could tell that story about our rejection to God in a parable way, we'd say, well, what should God, what should that landowner, what should that parent, what should that do? Give them what they deserve. But God is patient with us because He desires for all of us to repent. For all of us to repent. But recognize and realize for all of us and for all the world that God at this great price gave His Son. And if we reject that, it's not God who is unmerciful, unkind, and unloving. It is God who loved us so much that He gave His Son. And if we reject that, how can we be angry at God for bringing justice and punishment? Because if we tell the story about the tenant, everybody says, those tenants had their chance. They had their opportunity. They deserve it. Because they killed His Son and His prophets. Why did Jesus die? For our sins. For our sins, Jesus died. And so, if we continue in sin, if we don't realize the cost of sin and the seriousness of sin and say, but it's good for me, it's what I want, we have to realize that that's just like taking the Son out and killing Him. That's the seriousness of it. Don't say, well, Jesus already died. He died for us. And the rejection of that is really to kill Jesus over again. That's the seriousness of sin. And so, our loving God has said, I've reached out to you and I do reach out to you. And I am forgiving. And I paid the price with my Son. But I expect your love and your devotion and your submission to my will, to be part of my family, and then to enjoy all the blessings of the kingdom. That's the parable Jesus is telling in this last days of His life. That our God is loving, but He is just. And the importance is He's ending His earthly ministry. The importance of being in submission to God and being about God's business, and appreciating the gift of Jesus because it changes our lives. And the good news is that all of us have sinned. This is good news. All of us have sinned and Jesus paid the price that we don't have to suffer the consequences of sin. He has given us the opportunity for a perfect place and even watches over us while we struggle here. And He just calls on us to be about His business and to put him first, because he has put us first by giving his son. If you need to come today in response to that, we'd ask you to do it while we stand and sing.